A new resolution has been put forth from a Republican congressman from South Carolina, Joe Wilson, who is asking in this resolution to display a bust of Zelensky in the Capitol. Hello!
We are live. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
It's Thursday. It is Thursday.
We're almost done with this week.
It's flown. It has flown by. I was in Indiana like the beginning of the week. So strange.
That is crazy that you were here for like the first two shows of the week and now you are there.
I got on a steel tube and I like shot across the sky and I like was there at your house and now I'm back in Texas. So
strange. Isn't that just nuts? Like if you really think about it.
I know. It's just, it'll blow. It's just crazy. Crazy.
So like all this week, I've been seeing headlines from various economists or like Jamie Dimon, like all kinds of different people are speculating about the stock market and what's going to happen in 2023 and what's going to like how the economy is going to be.
Yeah. You in danger, and, like, girl.
Basically. Mm-hmm. He's saying that there's all kinds of people saying there's going to be like a big epic crash of the stock market again this year. I don't know if they're right or not. But the point about that is that the stock market is highly volatile. And so this might be a time, if you have not thought about it yet, but you've sort of been like wondering about maybe diversifying into some precious metals, a good time to think about getting some information about that right now. And it's very, very easy because our friends at Birch Gold have put together the most comprehensive and easy to follow and easy to understand packet of good information about what investing in gold looks like. And you can get that for free, you guys. All you have to do is text the word CHICKS to 989898. And they're going to send you right away your little free info kit all about what that looks like, how to invest in gold, how they can help you if you want to do that. It's amazing. And I learned so much from the information kit when I got it because I had no idea about any of it. And I learned a ton. So there's no obligation. Just text CHICKS to 989898. Get your free information kit. If you decide it's right for you, great. If not, that's fine too. But it's a good time to learn because everything is kind of borked right now if you hadn't been able to tell.
It's true. Have you seen the price of eggs?
I know. What the hell?
I don't even understand it. Like, I just get pissed off when I go to the grocery store. I'm looking around at other people going, do you see this? Do you see?
And everybody else is like making TikToks about it. They're like, yeah, we see. Here's a whole video about it.
That's so irritating. Yeah. And it's like, is that enough to make people vote for Republicans? The cost of eggs. I mean, this is like, are people paying attention?
Gas wasn't enough in the midterms. We barely won anything.
This is the thing. Are people paying attention? Do they understand? Is Cardi B awake?
She knows everything's expensive, but she's too dumb to put two and two together. That's the problem. People are too dumb.
She just thinks it's just outside forces that are making this happen. Like, what do you think, Cardi B? It's Democrat policies. You moron.
You voted for this. Congrats. Yeah.
Congrats.
Okay. So much to get to today and so much that is like super meaty. And obviously the big news from last night is that a whole second batch of classified documents were found that Biden held on to. So that's kind of a big deal. But before that happened, KJP had to have a presser, right? And she had to face the music about the first batch of documents that was found at the Penn Library. And so Peter Ducey, God love him, he pressed her. And you remember that video that we played yesterday, the flashback to September of Biden going, it is so irresponsible.
Right.
Irresponsible for Trump to have mishandled can't classified imagine. It's documents.
Just so completely irresponsible. I can't imagine a president doing that.
Couldn't just imagine so it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So Peter Ducey leads off with that and put her on the spot. It was kind of beautiful. Watch.
How could anyone be that irresponsible? Isn't that what this president says about mishandling classified documents?
The president spoke to this personally. He spoke to this personally. He believes that classified documents and information should be taken seriously. He takes them seriously. And he was surprised to learn by any records had been... I disagree. Here's what happened once
then his Justice Department.
Well, let me explain to you the process. Here's what happened when his lawyers found out that the documents were there. They immediately turned them over to their archives.
But they immediately turned them over to the archives. They did the right thing.
I'm not going to go into specifics, but what I'm reiterating to you is what you heard from the president yourself, Peter, which is how he saw the process and how he respects and truly respects and takes this very seriously, and when he knew and how surprised he was by it, and the actions that the right actions that the lawyers took. Again, this is under review by the Department of Justice, and we're going to let that process continue.
How can President Biden be trusted moving forward with America's secrets?
Because his lawyers, his team, did the right thing.
But he had a closet with classified information in it that they found.
Again, he was surprised that the records were there. He spoke to this personally. He was surprised that the records were there, and when his lawyers found out and his team found out that they were there, they turned it over to their archives, and now it's being reviewed by the Department of Justice.
So it's fine, you guys.
Yeah. So the difference is that he was shocked. That's the difference. He was surprised. They're so full of crap, these people.
Oh my God.
God. And they'll just make excuses. And my favorite was the response from Nancy Pelosi, just chowing down on something. What the hell was she eating? Did you see her walking through the hallway? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Her mouth is always moving, man. Always moving and always eating something out of her $24,000 fridge, you know, that we paid for. You're welcome for that. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a $24,000 fridge, but by God, she has one because we paid for it. Yeah.
Well, amazingly, in this particular presser, and again, this was before the second batch was discovered. Okay. And we don't even know where that batch actually was discovered. So we're waiting to find out that news. But in this same presser, when only one batch of documents was found, amazingly, Peter Ducey was not the only reporter to really press her on this. And there was, you know, there's the whole question of if this was actually discovered a few days before the election, why are we only learning about it now? Somebody asked her that. Listen.
Someone in the White House informed the American people when these documents were discovered on November 2nd. Did it have anything to do, because people are asking this part of it, did it have anything to do with the fact that the election was just a few days away?
Again, Ed, this is under review by the Department of Justice. It is literally under review right now. As I am talking to you, it is under review. So I'm not going to get beyond the process. I'm not going to get beyond what the president said.
She's not going to get beyond it, you guys. Yeah, it's under review.
I think we're clear on that, lady.
As we speak.
Yeah.
It's
literally. Literally.
And then there was a woman. I don't know who this reporter is. A young woman with glasses. Maybe you guys will recognize her. She was a new face to me. But she was not letting up. And this was quite an exchange. She wanted to know, like, have you even talked to the president about this? And so this is where that conversation went.
Thanks, Grant. Have you spoken to the president about these documents and their discovery?
I have not spoken. Well, first of all, I have not spoken to the president about any of this specifically because he's laid out what he knows. He has said he doesn't know what is in them, so there's no way for me to talk about the documents if he has said he doesn't know what's in them. And we're just going to allow the process to continue.
So for the sake of the American public who want these questions asked and answered, would the president characterize what happened here as a mistake? Would this White House characterize this as a mistake?
What I'll say is this is an ongoing process. You heard from the president. He spoke about this in detail yesterday on a world stage, in front of many of you who were there, in front of many of your colleagues. He laid out what he knew. He said that he seriously, he takes this seriously when it comes to classified documents, when it comes to information that is classified. He was surprised to learn about the records had been there. And again, he believes that that the lawyers did the right thing, and they immediately turned them over to the archives.
And the president saying that he was surprised to learn about these documents, is he saying that he did not bring those documents to that office?
I'm just not going to go beyond what the president said.
Do we know who did bring those documents?
I'm not going to go beyond what the president said.
But you're saying you want to be transparent, do things the right way. We're not going to get any more answers. And
his team of lawyers did do that. They did the right thing by turning over the documents to the archives. That's what they did once they realized that they had them and that they were there.
So it's not clear.
God, it's remarkable how she cannot answer a single question.
I mean, she was really floundering there, like floundering.
Yeah, she's on the total struggle bus. She was driving it.
Okay, so that happened. And then in the early evening, we have this report that happened like right after that press conference. I cannot wait for today's presser because I hope that they really, really press her now, especially on where the heck these were found. But here's the initial reporting about it.
President Biden have apparently discovered another set of classified documents, this time in a different location than the office where the first batch was discovered, according to a person familiar with the matter. I want to bring in now the team breaking this story. NBC News White House correspondent Carol Lee, our justice and intelligence correspondent Ken Delaney. And Ken, let me start with you with what we know.
Hallie, aides to President Biden have been conducting an exhaustive search, we are told, of other locations to make sure they've gathered up all the classified documents that went to the wrong place, because if it happened once, it could happen again. And what we're told is that they have found at least one additional batch of classified documents. Now, that's basically all we know. We don't know the extent, the nature of the classification on these documents. We don't know exactly when they were found. And again, we don't know whether this was anything more than inadvertent error by whoever was packing the documents as they left the Biden White House. But it's significant because it shows that the scope of this may be more broad than we first realized. You know, we were initially talking about a set of less than a dozen documents in one location at the Penn Biden Center. Now it appears there are more classified documents that went astray after Joe Biden left.
Just went astray. It's like they just walked away, you guys. They just went astray. They just got up and they were like, we're going to willy-nilly just go astray, you guys. See ya. We're documents. Bye.
They went astray. That's
it wasn't Biden's fault. It was the documents. The documents got up and walked away. They went astray, you guys.
Yeah. They're disobedient.
They're very rebellious, those documents. They're like unruly teenagers. Those damn documents.
Oh my God.
It's just, crazy documents.
Yeah. Now, I know people are going to be like, please, no more KJP. But there's just one more that I have to show you, because, and it's on a different issue, because it's another Ducey moment, right? It's another Peter Ducey moment. And this time, he presses her on what the whole point of Joe Biden's visit to the border was, if in fact he was not going to see the problems at the border.
Yeah.
And so, again, so much delicious floundering happening here. Listen.
One more. Why didn't President Biden want to see what's really going on at the border?
He did see exactly what's going on at the border.
He didn't talk to any migrants, and he didn't go anywhere that people actually cross illegally. Why not?
But he went to the migrant center, which was a critical place to be. When you think about the partners who are our partners who are helping support the migrants on the ground there. There happened to be no migrants at the facility at the time that he visited.
Because El Paso has been crushed. The shelters are full. There are overflow migrants sleeping in the streets. And then it's just a coincidence that suddenly the president shows up.
Let me talk about what's going on in El Paso, right? El Paso did go down significantly prior to the president's visit by about 70%. And that's a good thing, Peter. That's a good thing that we've seen the numbers go down. And that is something that we should be saying, okay, that's a good job there.
Good job, you. Good job. He went to the migrant center, but they cleared all the migrants out before he got there. Were no migrants.
It was a really important center when you look at who he was meeting with. That was important.
Saw the center, though, just with no migrants.
Oh, my God. You guys. How does anybody take her seriously at all?
How can she keep a straight face? How can she say that crap? Good Lord.
It's amazing. I mean, it truly is amazing how she does this every day. I'm hoping, you know, the fact that there were more than just Peter pressing her, I mean, I'm hoping that that means, you know, they're going to really press her harder today and demand answers. Now, granted, she doesn't know how to give them, but still, she needs to be put on the spot, like hard, you know?
Well, you know, if you notice, the rest of them, who are presumably liberals, right, are all just looking down. They're all like, God, this is terrible.
They all are. They are for sure. Yeah. You guys, can we just take a brief moment to remind you how everything that you ever can ever get at MyPillow ever is awesome?
It is. Every single product is the best.
I don't know how they do that, honestly, because that's a pretty tough feat. It's one thing to make pillows really well, which obviously they do, but then to also on top of that, make amazing bedding, sheets, mattress covers, all of it. Everything that they produce is of the highest quality. And I don't know how they're able to charge so little, frankly, for the things that they put together, but they do. And so we can't stop talking about them. And that is why, because all of their stuff is so great. And this right now, specifically in particular, it's their sheets, their Giza Dream sheets are just the best. They somehow never get too hot or too cold. And they have this perfect level of softness that is on mega, mega sale right now. You can get a twin set for less than $30 when you use code chicks at mypillow.com/chicks. And of course, the awesome moccasins and slippers with the squeezy fur kitten fur technology.
Just without the dog hair. No dog hair.
Right. And they have all the different colors, and they come in either moccasin style or the slip-ons like I just showed you. Those are on sale too. So again, your ticket to cheap, 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 cheap stuff that is so, so good is the code CHICKS at mypillow.com/CHICKS.
You guys, make sure you go onto our website, chicksintheright.com. Go there today. Do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff there. Like, for example, our writer Natalie wrote about this. This was unbelievable. This is one of our headlines today, is that there is a new resolution, HR 10. You can look it up. A new resolution has been put forth from a Republican congressman from South Carolina, Joe Wilson, who is asking in this resolution to display a bust of Zelensky in the Capitol.
Can you believe this crap, you guys? A bust of Zelensky in the Capitol of a Republican wants. Now, I would expect this from a Democrat, but a Republican wants to do this. He should just go over there and give him a personal back rub and stick his tongue up his butt. Seriously, I'm so sick of these people. Like, what is that?
Oh, God.
What are we doing? And Republicans at two?
I know. Two? I mean, this is what you want to do. This is what you're doing right now. This is what you're spending your time on as a brand new. I mean, maybe he's not a brand new member of Congress, but in a brand new Congress, this is what he's doing. It's just, it's absurd.
Any of our folks, it's despicable that they should be doing that. But we've got eggs that are $8 a dozen. Stop it.
Missy, Jean, Michelle.
You little scamp.
You little scamp. Thank you so much, Missy, Jean, Michelle, and Margaret Nusser Gerlach. Thank you very much for those super stickers. Appreciate those, sweet. You guys.
Thank you, ladies.
The reason for my name today is because Mackenzie Scott, who you may know from such things as being probably one of the richest women in the world because she divorced Jeff Bezos and got billions of dollars in that settlement or in that divorce. She has just now divorced her second husband, who was a teacher. They've been married for like 45 minutes. And now she's on divorce number two. So yeah, I think
she's a teacher at like her kids' school. So all the men who are like single out there watching us right now, we're saying there's a chance.
Right. I mean,
if you're single and you're looking, I mean,
she's available.
I mean, you too could become daddy number three.
Now, apparently they had a prenup. It was locked. It was solid. And he did not contest the divorce in any way. He was just like, whatever, that's fine. Bye. Like it's not like he's suing her for a bunch of money. Whatever the prenup said he would get, he's gotten. And so I would assume that he's doing just fine. But yeah, I mean, that's another divorce for McKenzie.
I wonder what he got.
I know. I would love to know.
I mean, he's a teacher. Even if he got like $1 million, he was probably like, worth it.
Right?
Oh, I was married for 5 minutes. Woo. Yeah.
I know. No. I know it. Okay. I want to get to a couple Tucker clips because you know how much I love. Oh, thank you. Creed's Mimi. Thank you very much for that super sticker. Appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Tucker was on, he was like in full Tucker mode last night. And you guys know how much I love it when he goes full snark, right? Like where he is literally just dripping in sarcasm. It's just falling all around him, just raining down sarcasm on top of Tucker. That's my favorite Tucker. And he did a glorious bit on Mayor Pete and the disaster that unfolded with all the airlines yesterday. It was beautiful. And I've split it into two parts. The first part is talking about Mayor Pete and Rose and what Mayor Pete has been focusing his attention on, which, of course, as we know, is the racist roads, our racist infrastructure.
They're totally racist. Yeah.
So just like the snark, you guys, just listen to the glorious snark.
Like a home buyer who discovers that his new house is riddled with termites. Mayor Pete soon learned that the Department of Transportation was on the verge of collapse. As it turned out, the department had a very serious diversity shortage, deadly serious. Imagine being adrift in an open boat in the Sargasso Sea and realizing you're down to your final tin of equity. You're about to run out of equity. That's where Pete Buttigieg found himself in January of 2021. That's not the kind of emergency a responsible federal appointee could ignore. Unfortunately for our nation, Mayor Pete did not ignore it. He took swift action. Just months after taking office, Buttigieg located the core of the problem, which, as we now know, was racist roads. There is racism physically built into some of our highways, Mayor Pete announced. And in his voice, you heard the iron resolve of a man who has no tolerance for bigotry and asphalt. And yet at the same time, you also heard a deeply sensitive man, a man who can feel the hate beneath the wheels of his electric vehicle, where others might just hear road noise. Mayor Pete decided to stamp out this hate. By November of that year, Buttigieg had ordered every freeway overpass in the Bronx inspected for racism. And soon he had preliminary findings. If an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach in New York was designed too low for it to pass by, he explained, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. Yeah, obviously, it makes sense. Problem identified. We should point out here, though, the Mayor Pete didn't actually tear down and rebuild these racist overpasses in the Bronx. Construction is not his thing. It was enough to call them racist and move on. That is his thing. And really, it's core to the new mission of the Transportation Department, which at this point can be summarized pretty simply. If a single trans woman of color has a bad day in this country, we as a nation have failed.
I know, just it's like
love him.
It's just, I know, it's the greatest. He's just he's so freaking great.
So okay, so that was the lead up right into the airline disaster, because everybody is criticizing Mayor Pete and his just ridiculous response happened yesterday.
Not having a good year, just not. Mm-hmm. Not been like, good for him.
It's been a disaster. And that's to say nothing of the Amtrak disaster that was taking place on the East Coast. 37 hours people were trapped on an Amtrak train. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just airlines that were borked yesterday.
Which means naturally he'll run for president.
Right. I mean, look at the record.
He's a Democrat. Right.
So this next part of Tucker is specifically about the fiasco with the airlines yesterday. Also perfection.
His attention to aviation. Now, Mayor Pete himself flies private, so he didn't have a tactile firsthand experience with our crumbling airports or crowded, stinking planes last refurbished during the Clinton administration. But he knew something more important. He knew that the FAA was beset by structural misogyny and transphobia. And to fix that, Mayor Pete had the FAA announce that the aviation system called Notice to Airmen, that's the system that keeps pilots up to date on their flights, that system would change immediately. Actually, the system itself wouldn't change, it would remain the same. But more important, the name would change. Going forward, it would be called Notice to Air Missions. Missions, not Mad Missions. See the massive improvement there? Now we're getting somewhere. So at the beginning of last year, Mayor Pete declared victory. 2022, he said, would be the year that, quote, every transportation decision inherently is in many ways a decision about equity. In April of last year, Mayor Pete noted that ensuring equity and accessibility for every member of the traveling public is one of the department's highest priorities. So he was on it, and the equity crisis was solved. Unfortunately, our transportation problems were not solved. They had, in the meantime, become much worse. In fact, it reached a point, it is at a point, that you might experience on, say, a trip across Bangladesh. Just today, in fact, the FAA was forced to order a ground stop for all air traffic in the United States. No planes flying in a continental country. First time that has happened since 9/11. Now, the problem affected the newly renamed Notice to Air Missions system. More than 10,000 flights were canceled or delayed. How did this happen? Total stop on all air travel. Let's go to the Secretary of Transportation for his assessment.
Now that the system is up and running, our primary focus is to determine that root cause, and I've directed FAA to figure out exactly how this happened, the timeline piece by piece about what was known overnight going into last night and then coming out of it. So glitches or complications happen all the time, but we can't allow them to ever lead to this level of disruption, and we won't ever allow them to lead to a safety problem.
Okay, so I'm the Secretary of Transportation, and there's no air transportation in the entire country of 350 million people. I have no idea why, but I'm going to, quote, direct someone to find out, because we can't allow this to happen. Really? Thanks for telling us. We thought we could allow it to happen. We go, oh, we can't? You're going to direct someone to find out? Yeah, sure.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's your job, dude.
That's literally his job.
That is your job.
One job.
Yeah, exactly. We pay you to do one thing. And you can't do that.
Who the hell is going to do it?
He's going to direct somebody to do it.
He's going to get to the bottom of this, you guys, by telling somebody to get to the bottom of it.
Right. This is the thing. This is what happens when you put people in positions that they're not qualified for. And
exactly.
Yes, somebody asked if we've seen South Bend. Oh, we've seen South Bend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we've seen it.
Yes, yeah. We have.
We're both from Indiana.
That's my neck of the woods. I grew up in northern Indiana. So, yes, I can assure you, he did a terrible job in South Bend.
Yeah,
absolutely people, awful.
People that are from South Bend know that he's not qualified to do this job. In fact, they're horrified that he was put in this position. So, yeah, this is what a nightmare. What a complete nightmare yesterday was. And a complete nightmare that he's in this position. But it's typical. Typical Democrat stuff, right? He's put in a position that he's not qualified for.
We still don't know why this happened. That nobody knows why. That they're not even able to fully rule out hacking. I mean, that the entire air system can fall apart in America today is terrifying. And so, again, it goes back to the whole... you know, freak out that I was having yesterday about our entire infrastructure. I mean, it's not even, there was a whole bunch of articles yesterday about the grid, how people are saying, you know how much I'm like afraid of the grid going down.
Oh my God. She's been afraid about that ever since I've known her.
This has been like one of my biggest paranoias. And now we've got people in the know that work with grid saying they are more vulnerable than ever before. And that if you're not concerned that there's going to be a full-blown grid outage, there were 107 physical attacks on the U.S. power grid last year. 107.
I believe
it. And we're
in
no way prepared. We're in no way prepared.
Yeah. And again, you don't think that people were watching what happened yesterday?
Right.
And then watching Pete and thinking, oh, he's just going to ask somebody to try to figure that out? Good Lord.
And they probably think we're all going to just forget about it. Now that air travel is back, we'll just, okay, that was a blip and we're all going to forget about it. Nobody should forget that this happened, right? Like, this is a big deal. It's bad. Anyway, not to be Captain Bringdown or anything. another major thing happened in Congress yesterday, and that is that the House passed the bill that allows protections for babies who are the victims of abortion, who somehow make it through the abortion procedure alive, that they should have medical care immediately. I can't believe it requires a law that would say if you have a struggling baby on a tray after you've tried to kill it, maybe you should offer it some medical care. But apparently with Democrats, you do have to spell that out in a bill. And then even then, Democrats, 210 of them, I should say, 210 of them think, you know what? If we give them medical care, that might endanger them. So we That's such bull crap.
That is such bull crap. If we give them what their translation, if we give them medical care, they may live.
Right.
That's That's the translation. That's what they're saying. So this is who we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who are like, we can't have these babies live. I'd rather see that baby struggle and die on a tray. That's who we're dealing with. We're dealing with those depraved people who would rather see that. What side do you want to be on?
Right.
I mean, when I saw this yesterday, I was just like, I felt sick. If you don't feel sick at the prospect of these people saying that, like admitting that out loud, there are like Nadler, the evil penguin. Right.
Got a clip of him explaining this absolutely inexplicable viewpoint. Ugh. That like we can't be ordering up like ambulances or taking these struggling kids to the hospital. That might endanger them. I mean, we were trying to kill them. Why are you getting in the way of that? So here he is trying to make that make sense.
The problem with this bill is not that it makes anything is not that it provides any new protections for infants. The problem with this bill is that it endangers some infants by stating that that infant must immediately be brought to the hospital, where, depending on the circumstances, that may be the right thing to do for the health and survival of that infant, or it may not. That is the problem with this bill. It directs and mandates a certain medical care which may not be appropriate, which may be endanger the life of an infant in certain circumstances.
What?
That's why we oppose this bill.
Oh, my God.
Endanger the life of the infant to get them immediate medical care?
Right.
What?
If a baby survives that, how would that endanger their life if you try to get it immediate medical care? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you, you evil penguin? What is wrong with you?
And he's not the only one. Again, 210 Democrats voted against this. Here's Schakowsky explaining her vote.
As our chairman had said, not only is it illegal to not care for a born infant, but the law that you have provided on the Republican side actually can create more harm. It requires immediately taking a struggling baby to a hospital. That hospital could be hours away and could be detrimental to the life of that baby.
So you definitely just should leave it on the table and let it struggle and die. Facility.
I mean, it's better just to let it struggle and die, because that's who Democrats are. Let the baby struggle and die. Yeah. Good luck living with yourself. Answer for that. You know, on the day that you die, have fun answering for that.
Well, and speaking of the evil penguin, there was another component to this bill, and that was they wanted to officially, you know how Congress loves to officially condemn things, which does it's mostly meaningless, but at least it gets people to say out loud, hey, you know what's terrible? This. So part of the bill was also about condemning violence against pregnancy centers and pro-life centers, right? Like any kind of pregnancy center that, because you've seen all the reports about how they've been vandalized, burned down. Mm-hmm. There's been so much violence against these places that do nothing but try to save lives. And so part of the bill that the Republicans put forth was to say, we are condemning any violence against these pregnancy centers. Well, Nadler, the evil penguin, had a problem with that too.
It is important that we condemn all acts of violence, regardless of who is the ultimate target. I'm concerned that by refusing to condemn violence against providers, this resolution will inadvertently send a signal to anti-abortion extremists that violence against abortion providers is justified by the vandalism described in the resolution.
So he's okay with violence directed at the pro-life centers? Is that what I'm hearing?
I can't. Well, he's saying if we condemn that, it would say it would basically be saying that then it's okay, that having anti-abortion views is okay, and that's not okay to him. So he doesn't want to condemn it, or he also wants to condemn all violence instead of the specific violence that was outlined in that bill. It's freaking crazy.
Okay, well, condemn all violence then. Condemn all the violence. That's fine. Because, listen, he obviously has never been to one of those pro-life centers. They're fantastic places. I've been to fundraisers for those places here in Waco. They're beautiful places. They take, you know, the moms and the babies in that would otherwise live these devastating lives or choose another path that would be devastating for them. They do wonderful things. They're run based on charitable contributions by wonderful people. I mean, they do great things and they help people. They help women. I mean, they're fantastic. And that's the thing is that they're filled with love. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it is that they are love-filled places. So why would for people to inflict violence on those? I just can't even imagine why anybody would be okay with that. Why would you want that?
It doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't even make any sense for anybody to want to inflict violence on a center like what message are you sending? How dare you help mothers and children
and babies?
How dare you do that? Like what? Yeah. That makes no sense. It just makes no sense.
Yeah.
So anyway, the bill passed, but not through any help from Democrats because they are all evil psychos. I mean, that's the only way to describe it. I don't know how you don't. I just don't know how you vote against this. Yeah, it's insane.
And furthermore, somebody made a great point. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name. But how is allowing a child to struggle and die on a tray not violence?
That's a great question.
Somebody's going to have to explain that to me. I don't understand.
I mean, they're fine with the actual killing of the baby. But man, if that baby somehow miraculously survives their own death, you just can't take them to the hospital. That would endanger them.
It's they're crazy. That is sick and twisted, y'all.
It's sick and twisted.
Oh my God.
This is a good time to check out the most popular package from GenuCell. They're doing their New Year's clearance event. You can save over 70% off of their most popular package. And by the way, and Natalie, I don't know if she's heard from GenuCell yet or not. I know she will. But anytime you do send in a testimonial like that, GenuCell is going to give you a product for free. And it's like a full-size product of your choice. So there is incentive for you to talk about your experience with it. And that is just another example of how awesome of a company they are. So check them out. Just go to the website, see all the skincare that's out there. It's amazing. We've trusted them for years. We love them. It's GenuCell.com/. Okay. Speaking of sick and twisted, what is in your whack? I know I have a...
It's Ellen DeGeneres, you guys. It's Ellen DeGeneres. I saw it on Instagram.
I couldn't pull from Instagram. I can't share. I had to find it on Twitter.
Oh, you did?
Instagram is like there. It's muted automatically, and there's auto start. It's just a big pain. But this is the same thing.
She's talking about the weather in California, and this is right behind her gigantic mansion, and she's saying that Mother Nature is mad at us because you know, this is happening because Mother Nature is mad at us.
So she's in Montecito specifically, which is where Harry and Meghan also live. And they had to evacuate Montecito. So here is her amazing analysis.
So Montecito is under complete evacuation, the entire town. This is the 5-year anniversary from the fire and mudslides that killed so many people and, off their homes, their lives. This is crazy. On the 5-year anniversary, we're having unprecedented rain. This creek next to our house never flows, ever. Probably about 9 feet up, and it could go another 2 feet up. We have horses ready to evacuate. We need to be nicer to Mother Nature, because Mother Nature is not happy with us. Let's go to our park. Stay safe, everybody.
She said, do your part. Everybody needs to do their part.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what that would be because it's, you know, it's weather.
So, I would imagine doing your part is maybe not building like not, you know, not environmentally friendly mansions and flying on private jets. I'm just saying
that. It's a great point. Yeah. But so there was a lot of chatter in the comments, at least on Instagram, about, you know, climate change and stuff like that. And I think the wackest part of it for me was go vegan and then we won't have this problem. Okay. So that, I don't understand that. Like, I can't.
That was one of the comments.
One of the comments was, if you go vegan, this won't happen. Stop it. Okay. Just stop it. Cause
so if we listen, just all eat bugs, well, yeah, we're going to be fine.
I mean, okay. Listen, I just, and the reason that I think that's what I was vegan for a year of my life. And I don't care how you eat or what you choose to eat, but what you eat has nothing to do with whether or not it's going to rain a lot. Okay. So just stop with that. Don't tell me that I can't eat a nice steak. And if I stop eating the steak, then it's just going to stop raining in Ellen's backyard, you know, because it's just, it's not going to, because weather is weather and weather is weather. And then weather is more weather. And I'm just tired of that conversation. And I think it's whack and everybody needs to stop with that. All right.
It is whack. I'm still waiting for the explanation for like anytime someone says this is the biggest flood or storm that we've had in 100 years. What was the explanation 100 years ago? Please Amen tell me that. What the explanation, if it, because it wasn't climate change 100 years ago, right? So what was it? And yeah, is it possible that maybe it's just that again?
Yeah. And now it's all about control and getting people's money. And right, I just get so tired of this conversation. And they're just that the comments, that's what's whack to me is the comments. And if yeah, you have a chance, you know, if you feel like getting angry and feel like your blood pressure going up, you may want to just go read the comments because God, the climate change discussion, it just starts getting on my nerves after a while because these people are just, it's just a brainwashing thing where they just feel like they can actually be God is what they think they can be. You're not God.
Yeah.
Stop thinking you are because you're not. My sunrise is pretty nice, right? It's pretty Ooh, nice. Yeah. Cash isn't in here. Very Cash nice. Was feeling kind of pukey this morning. He woke up this morning. You know how dogs wake you up and they're doing the throw up sound.
Yeah.
Cash did that. Only when Great Danes do it, it's really loud.
Everything they do is bigger.
Yeah. It was grand. It was grand, you guys. So
he's not
tomorrow
up for flaps.
No, he's not in here. Cause they have to put bar stools in front of the door so he doesn't open it. And so I feel they're out there. Cause we have the door handles that are like this.
Right.
And he'll just use his face and open them. And so he's not going to come in. No. Otherwise, he'll show himself in. So he'll be back tomorrow, you guys.
Okay.
He'll come in on Friday to give you guys a Friday flap. Okay? Everybody, bring it in. Bring it in. Guys, bring it in. Have the best Thursday. And we will talk to you tomorrow.